Hello, good morning. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14 from the New King James Version. Again, that is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 14. And the Bible reads, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." I have just read 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 14. Thank you.
It's indeed a blessing to be here on this morning as we are here to worship God in spirit and in truth. I do want to let everyone know that if you are visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guests. We're thankful for you being here on this morning. We are talking about working together this month. And as we are talking about this, our gospel meeting with Brother B.J. Clark will center around these thoughts as well. If you're visiting with us, you'll see the QR code on the screen behind me. You can point your device to that and get the notes. And so when we consider the theme for this month concerning working together, friends, we definitely need to work together. We definitely need to have the attitude of being in this together as much as humanly possible, keeping in mind that we are God's people and we are here to help and aid one another. When we consider the human body has been created by God. We understand that it came forth from the dust. And when God created the man, he created him in his image. And when he breathed life into that man, it's interesting that he came forth with mind, the ability to walk, think, to act, to feel. And so the man, the human being, is fearfully and wonderfully made. And the church is the same. When we think about the body of Christ, we're talking about the church of Jesus Christ, is the same. It has been crafted. It has been created. And it's such an amazing thing when we consider the church, consider the body of Christ. Why is that? Because it is made up of the souls of men. It's made up of the souls of men. Those who have been regenerated, those who have been born again, those who have come out of the world, Colossians 1:13, and has been translated in the kingdom of the Son of His love. And so when we consider the church and how the church is supposed to be working together, all who are in the church have been called by the gospel, the good news, the power of God to save man, Romans 1:16. And it is that power that is inclusive of the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the appearance of Christ and the kingdom of God, Mark 1:14, that makes it very powerful. Why? Because you have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You have to believe that he established his kingdom. And I was looking at a video on yesterday, and it was a video of Deion Sanders, who is the new coach of the Colorado Buffaloes. And he said something that's pretty interesting. And I was thinking about this as a member of the Lord's church, that if you don't believe, they didn't believe that he could win the first game against TCU. And I thought about that. Many did not believe. You know, there are many that don't believe that God's people can actually work together, but we can. We can work together. As a matter of fact, we must work together. And when we consider the people of God being one body, yet many members, can't help but to think about the work that we have to do here, even at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ. There's so much to get involved with, but we have to have that mentality. I won't keep you long. I promise you I won't keep you long. But I do want to take notice of some things. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want you to notice something in verses 1 through verse number 6. 1 through 6. 1 through 6. I find it interesting that this is right after the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And you would be remiss if you did not study 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 together. As a matter of fact, contextually, you need to study them together. They go together. Here we see in verse number 1, now concerning spiritual gifts. Brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one, now listen to this, speaking by the Spirit of God, calls Jesus accursed. It's no way that God's Spirit, which teaches us through the Word, John 6:63, will ever lead you to say that Jesus is accursed. That's what he's saying. It's no way that you being led by the Word of God, Romans 8, 1 and 2, actually through verse number 6, is no way that you can conclude with God's Word through the Holy Spirit that Jesus is accursed. It's no way. So that's his point right there. Notice what he goes on to say. Verse number 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Kyrios, Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. If you notice, all three, Brother Tobias, of the Godhead are mentioned by Paul by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Please don't miss that point. It's important for you to understand that point. Why is that? Because it is the Holy Spirit. He is the one that was going to be distributing the gifts. He would be the one that the Apostle Paul would be speaking through in order to speak to the Corinthian brethren. So contextually, it is the Holy Spirit. He would be the one that would be operating on behalf of the Christ, Lord, on behalf of the Father, God. He would be operating from their perspective, from their authority, if you will. And so from this point forward, especially in chapter 12, he's talking about the work of the Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's important. Why? It's important because the Holy Spirit, according to John 14:26, John 15:26, was sent by the Father, was sent by the Christ in order to do what? In order to distribute the gifts properly, in order for the church, Brother Smithy, to work together. To work together. Now, when we consider this and we think about the Holy Spirit's work here, it's important for us to understand that the body of Christ, the church of Christ, the called out of sin ones of Christ, they are products of the Holy Spirit's teaching. Now, don't miss that point. It's important because it's easy to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14, and begin preaching. But if you don't get that background right there, then really you're kind of in the dark. So this is the Holy Spirit's work, and he is working through the power of God, working through the Word of God, the will of God, the way of God. And so when we consider this, especially when you look at verses 12 through verse number 14, I find it very interesting and somewhat confusing how people would conclude that the Holy Spirit would do something such as confusing as, hear me out please, establishing many churches. That's confusion. Why is that? Point number one, the difficulty of 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14. It was read in our hearing by our good brother, Brother Leon. We see something that's very interesting in this text. And it ought to help us to understand the work of the church, but it begins with the Holy Spirit's work and a lack of confusion, because God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So if there's confusion, if there are things that are not lining up spiritually, biblically, brethren, we cannot say that's okay. We cannot work together as the people of God here at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ if we think that the Holy Spirit is the author of confusion. Now, in verse number 12, notice, for as the body is one. Now, you know how many one is? Less than two, more than zero. One. I find it interesting that people struggle when it comes to one in the religious world. It's not that difficult to understand that one means one. But here he says the body is one. In Colossians 1 and verse number 18, Paul, by inspiration of the same Holy Spirit that had him to write this, says that Jesus Christ is the head of the body. And then he calls it what? The church. Now that's very important. Why? Because we can supply the word church there, and we can safely conclude that the church is one. The body is one, the church is one. But here is the difficulty for some reason, and has many members. This is where some teach, as in John 15, verses 1 and following, John chapter 10, when Jesus said, many sheep that I have that are not of this fold. Jesus would say in John 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And you know what denominationalism teaches? They teach that Jesus is the head, yet there are many churches. Hold on, Ephesians 5, the Bible demonstrates to us that the body, the church, is the bride of Christ, which demonstrates clearly that if there is one body, one bride, there's one church. Now, look at what the text says. But all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. If we understand that denominationalism and the one true church are speaking the same things, brethren, then we are concluding that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is teaching the wrong things. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is actually teaching oneness, unity. And we understand very clearly that one still means one. Now, people may struggle with their gender, but they shouldn't struggle with their number. One still means one. One is more than zero, less than two. So if there's one body, there's one church. We got problems. Even in the Church of Christ, we have some that don't believe that. If you drop down to verse 25 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, notice what Paul here says. Interesting. He says that there should be no division, no schism in the body, but that members should have the same care for one another. God has never orchestrated, he has never authorized for us to be divided. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. God has always wanted us to speak the same things, be of the same mind, and the same judgment. Why is that important? Because for some reason, people believe that we can teach different things and be one. But that's false. Why is that false? Because when you think of the Godhead, and Brother Tobias brought this out in the lesson this morning, according to John 10:35, the scriptures cannot be broken. We understand that the Godhead always spoke the same things. The body of Christ, the church of Christ, must speak the same things. And there be no divisions. God never wants us to be divided. As a matter of fact, he wants us to be promoters rather of unity. And so, when we think about the body of Christ, the church, the called out ones, she is known. Go to Romans 16:16. In Romans 16:16, Paul, as he is given his salutations, given his greetings, if you will, he says something there that is very important. He says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. God put the designation of his son's church in the Bible. make no mistake about it, there's no confusion. Sister Bonner is Sister Bonner. There is not another Sister Bonner out there that's married to me. Now, there is another Sister Bonner, but her name is Sky. But she don't belong to me. God put the name of his church in the Bible. And he expects all of the members to work together under the designation of Church of Christ. Every last one of us. And so when we stop and we consider this, already we have problems. Why? Because when we think about the church, she is the fullness of Christ. She is the one that Jesus promised to build. But look at verse 13 of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12. Stay with me, because I probably lost some of you on that point. Shouldn't have, but it's difficult to grasp. Because of all of the religious confusion, it's difficult to grasp that everybody should be under the designation of Church of Christ. That's a difficult thing to grasp. I remember when I first obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ in baptism and come to the realization that there was one body, one church. That was a hard thing for me to grasp. And I grew up in the church. That was hard to grasp. But look at verse 13. In verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, notice what he says here. For by one Spirit, one Holy Spirit, one revealer. Now notice the past tense language. Keeping in mind that those who were baptized into Christ, immersed into Christ at Corinth, you can go back to the book of beginnings, the book of Acts chapter 18, and you'll find out where what they did rather in order to be saved. Acts 18. For by one Spirit, Paul says, we were all baptized, notice, into one body, one church. Now, when we stop and we consider this, and we think about the beautiful blessing of being in the Christ, being in the church, friends, we can't help but to think that the Christ actually prophesied of the Holy Spirit actually doing this, according to John chapter 7, verse number 37 through 39. But notice what he says, and notice the scope of the individuals that were going to benefit from being baptized by the Spirit into the body. Notice, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, there's no discrimination when it comes to God. God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. God is not slack concerning his promise as men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. And so when we consider this, what is God teaching? When we think about being baptized, Brother Ditmore says it best, and I appreciate it. He always reminds us of immersion. Immersion. Immersion in what? Acts chapter 8, verses 30 through verse number 38. Water. Water. He's talking about water baptism, friends. But notice the latter part of verse number 13. And have all been made to drink. Notice the figure of speech that is being used here. The metaphor, if you will. The word drink there is a figure of speech which literally means to have one's thirst satisfied in obedience to God. When one drinks, go to John chapter 7. Let me prove this real quick. John chapter 7. And we'll get to the working together here in a minute, but we have to understand that working together begins the right way. But Brother Mike, why are you stressing this point? Because even amongst churches of Christ, you have open fellowship with denominationalism, saying that we're working together like the ministerial alliances and things of that nature. You probably never heard of that. However, it's happening that ministers and elders in the Lord's church are holding hands with those who are not even God's people. You can't get away from 1 Corinthians 12. So in John chapter 7, starting at verse number 37, notice on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirst, notice the figure he uses, let him come to me and drink. You remember Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke, take my teachings upon you and learn of me. What does it mean to drink according to what Jesus says in his own words? Come learn. Come learn. Come satiate your mind. Come saturate your mind. Come fill that thirst that you don't leave thirsty again. And then it made me think about his words. Blessed are those who hunger and what? Thirst. They shall be filled. Verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, out of his belly, the King James renders, will flow rivers of living water. Now, notice John explains this. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given. Why? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. He had not yet gone to his Father. Therefore, the Holy Spirit had not come. The Holy Spirit will come when Jesus goes. Now go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Think about that idea of drinking. We have too many people who are drinking from the wrong water. We ought to be drinking from the Word of God. Drinking from the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. Drinking from the truth of the gospel. 1 John 2:21, there's no lie of the truth. We consider this and think about this even further. And we see something very interesting. Again, for by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Revealer, we were all immersed into one church, one body. Paul, by inspiration of the same Holy Spirit, would say in Galatians 3, verse number 26, for you are all the sons of God, children of God, by faith. Watch this. For as many of you that have been baptized, immersed into Christ. Now, that's interesting. Miss Gina, we see in 1 Corinthians 12, you're baptized into the body, the church. But in Galatians 3, 26, 27, you're baptized into Christ. Guess what? The same time you get into Christ, you get into the church. The same time you get into the church, you get into the Christ. And then you'll find those who will teach, Brother Royce, that I'm already saved. I'm just being baptized. There's the point right there. You can't get into one without getting into the other. What does this have to do with working together? Everything. Remember the Holy Spirit, the Word, which became the Son, and the Father, who is God. All three of them are working together, demonstrating to us that we must work together as well. And so the more I thought about this, I see the simplicity in verse 14. The simplicity in verse 14. Notice, for in fact, the New King James renders, the body is not one member, but many. When you look at that in the original, no doubt the church, he says. For no doubt the church is one member, is not one member, but many. When we think about the church, he's talking about the different members, the different people in the church. It's like our human body. This is my human body, but I have fingers, I have nails, I have feet. You don't want to see them. My wife won't even touch my feet. I got to pay somebody to touch my feet. But anyway, I digress. But the body has different members, which means that everything must listen to the head. Jesus Christ is the head. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just trying to be scriptural. The church, the Pope is not the head of the church. Now, the Pope is the head of the Catholic Church. But he's not the head of the Church of Christ. Why? Because our head is in heaven. Point two. We talked about the difficulty of 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14. But we got to work together. We're many, many members. One body. And this is just one body among many bodies. What do I mean by that? Here you have the body of Christ here. And then across town, Southgate, you got the body of Christ there. And then in San Antonio, you have the body of Christ there. But we're all the same body. We all are under the designation of the Church of Christ.
There's a drive that members should have. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. I'm going to say it everywhere I go. Some of the most neglected passages in the Bible, the Word of God, are the one another passages. And as I was looking at all of them, I was in here the other day and just walking, trying to get my steps in. And as I was walking, I was looking at every single one another passage. Took about 30 minutes to go through all of them. That's how many that are in the scriptures. I think God is trying to tell us something. In a world that has always been selfish from the time that Eve partook of the fruit and Abel was slain by his brother, men and women have struggled with me. Me. When the Bible demonstrates that is not about me only, but it's about my brethren. You have the notes. I dare not go through all of this. And I struggled. I really did struggle because I was going to put another point, but I knew it wasn't going to work. But you have the notes. And so I want to focus on just a few little points. 1 Peter 3. Brethren, if we're going to work together, if we're going to be a people that are going to really work together here at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ, and one thing that I see and the elders see, we see people that love one another. But I'm not talking about collectively right now. I'm talking about individually. Why? Because we're members one of another. So it begins with me, the individual, and my relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit's Word. It begins with me. It begins with me and my thinking and my intentions and my thought process. It begins with me, because if I can get me to be more like the Christ, then the body of Christ here at Ninth and Main and wherever I may go will be better, because I'm better. My life is better. My family is better. My job is better. My community is better. Why? Because I take me. And hopefully, Galatians 2:20. Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me. If I could just take Christ wherever I go. Again, it starts with me. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8, we see something very interesting. And we see the same idea in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 25 as it relates to the care that we ought to have one for another. Peter would say this, our brother Peter. Notice what he says in verse number 8. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, unity, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless one another, blessing, knowing that you were called to this. What were we called to do? The things that he just stated. That you may inherit a blessing. Brother Brian Braswell brought this point out one night. I thought it was powerful. He who would love life, see good days. You want to love life? You want to see good days? Do this. Let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips speak no deceit, no guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and run after it, pursue it. Why? For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. It made me think about when Abel was slain by his brother. God saw that. Brethren, God wants us to work together. God sees when we work together. And again, we have a great thing here. We want to keep it up. We want to keep working together. And so if you look at the notes, we want to be a people who are compassionate, harmonious, fond of one another, tender-hearted and courteous, friendly. We want to continue to do that. But there's areas that we can work on. And Brother Randy, in your prayer, thank you. Because sometimes it's not easy to be corrected. And sometimes, even amongst us, we fail to correct one another. We fail to admonish one another, meaning to instruct with warning, Colossians 3 and verse number 16. We fail to do that. We don't want to hurt one another's feelings. As a matter of fact, the best thing you can do to me and for me is correct me. I don't want to stay in sin. I don't even want to stay in a situation where it looked like I'm being misguided. Neither should you. Correction is a good thing, Proverbs 9 and verse number 8. For some reason, we don't want to be corrected. But brethren, you want to be corrected. Why? You would rather be corrected here than to be told on the day of judgment you didn't receive correction. Therefore, friends, we should desire correction. And so when you look at letter B, the mindset that promotes one another, simply learning to crucify oneself, strategically learning to correct oneself. We'll talk about that. Spiritually learning to cultivate oneself. We ought to police ourselves, and then we police one another. Hence the reason you have a multiplicity of men in eldership. Why? To police one another. Hence the reason you have brethren who love one another and are willing to police one another. Sometimes the attitude is, well, you don't know what I'm going through. How can you tell me anything? Well, if what I'm saying is not true, then just tell me. But if what I'm saying is true, then love me enough to say, you know what? I'll look at that and work on it. Working together. Brother Royce is going to preach next week. Brother Tobias is going to be preaching on the 17th. Then Brother BJ is going to come, and he's going to be preaching on the 24th. And then Brother Smith is going to wrap it up on the first Sunday of October on how we can work together. But we have to have a foundation. What's the foundation? One another. Each other. We need one another to hold each other accountable at home, here. Because the last thing you want is to be held accountable by systems that are really designed for you to influence. And I'm talking about legal systems or people on your job. And they say, well, I thought you was a Christian. You hate to be corrected that way, even though there's nothing wrong with that either. However, one another, friends, crucifying ourselves, correcting oneself, cultivating oneself, working out our salvation. Let us see the beauty of one another in spiritual membership. Look at this real quick. Wow. We should appreciate the promotion of truth. Look at Ephesians 4. Look at verse 25. Friends, are we practicing this? Ninth and Main is a great place. There are a lot of great places in the brotherhood that we can go. But all of us can get better. Before you criticize, make sure you're being critical to yourself. Police yourself. And then help police us. Brethren, Mike Bonner needs policing. Because Mike Bonner is not always right, as his wife. Guess what? None of us are always right. But he is. He's always right. And he proved it. But Ephesians 4 and verse number 25, therefore put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. He's talking about members of the church. Why? How do we know? Look at the rest of the verse. For we are members one of another. Brethren, we are to be transparent with one another. Now, let me contextualize that. You walk in wisdom, period. Colossians 4, 4, 5. Ephesians 5, 15. Don't lay your hand on no man suddenly. 1 Timothy 5, verse 20 through 22. You can't tell everybody your business. We understand that. But we need to learn transparency. What people see is what people ought to get. How do we work together in this? We show appreciation through the promotion of truth. We must understand the power of difference. I've been thinking about this. Go to Romans 12. Been thinking about this. We're promoting evangelism. Everybody ought to be involved in evangelism. However, everybody is not a teacher. Everyone is not a teacher. I could prove that, James 3, 1, be not many teachers. But you can help in the process of bringing someone to Christ by setting up a study, by living your life in harmony with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that someone can ask you, where do you attend? Why are you thinking the way you're thinking? Why do you speak the way you speak? Well, you know what? I'm not really that clear with the scriptures, or I really am not articulate in the scriptures. I really don't know where all the passages may be, but you know, why don't we set up a study and I can sit in with you? Everybody's not a teacher, but you can sit in on one and learn. You can set one up, or you can provide your home. You can provide a meal or babysitting or something that those who are teaching, and so people can concentrate on just learning the Word of God, working together. But Romans 12, 4 and 5, we understand that there's a spiritual service that all of us must work out. We see that in Romans 12, verse number 2. But if you look at verse number 4, for as we have many members in one body, one church, but all the members do not have the same function. We should not impress upon the people that you got to be a teacher. No, everybody don't have the same function. I praise God that my feet don't have to do what my hands do. I already said it. They need to stay close to the ground where they belong. But these things, they need to be clean. So when I put that ribeye in my mouth, I can go just like that. Because I ain't right. Brethren, the church is the same way. But you have to figure out, where do I function? Everyone don't have the same function. But you have to find a function, and you got to get to work. So, and we got to work together. Look at verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually, I'm so thankful that God has made us individuals, yet we're part of the collective body. We're all important. And Brother Royce, you're going to be preaching on that. The importance of everyone. Everybody's important. Everybody. Now, you may not do it the way I do it, but get the job done anyway. Just get the job done and grow in that. And help your family to grow as an individual, yet part of the body, part of the family, part of God's people. Finally, we can enjoy the pleasures of fellowship. Go to Hebrews 3. The last points are yours. The more I was thinking about this and contemplating and thinking, I was considering some things that we should, must, and can. Enjoy pleasure. What pleasure? How about enjoying the pleasure of fellowshipping with one another by exhorting one another? How often? Daily. Brethren, every day we ought to seek a child of God to encourage. Every single day. Please, I'm begging you, do not let one day go by without encouraging a brother or a sister. Please. We have Bible for this, Brother Royce. Every day you ought to encourage a brother or a sister to hang in there. Don't you give up. You hold on. Job would say, my change is coming. Every day, which means that you're going to have to get out of you. You need to look at some other folk, which means that if you're being encouraged, you can't keep receiving it. This is not the government of the United States of America. I'm not going to keep sending you a stimulus check of exhortation. You're going to have to encourage somebody. There's some people all the time, they need to be encouraged. Eventually, you're going to have to get your own tank filled up so you can encourage someone else. But drop down to verse 24. Wow. The Hebrews writer, I'm sorry, chapter 10, verse 24. The Hebrews writer, He's saying, let us consider, here's that term again, one another. I'm telling you, we're not even touching the hem of the garment of the one another passages. There's no way you can read the Bible, the New Testament, the Word of God, and come out saying, it's about me. There's no way. It's about each other. And let us consider one another. To stir up love and good works, notice, to irritate one another in a good way. There are some irritations, but this irritation is love and good works. We ought to be irritating one another, to be fond of one another, to do what is best for one another, but also to do that which Jesus went about doing, good. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another to come to Bible class, to come to worship. It's such a blessing. Because basically what you're saying is, I love God so much that I want to encourage my people. And brethren, my people are not those who have the same skin color. My people are those who have been baptized into Christ. My people are Christians. My people are members of the Lord's church. Those are my people. The reason why I say that is because when I was in Babylon, God is my witness. Had a young man wanted me to work with him so we can help the black children. I said, I ain't coming that way to help just black children. Can't here to help Abilene. Don't get caught up. You don't get caught up in anything, you get caught up in spiritual things. Working together. Why? Because when you see the Godhead working together, and if you see the church working together, we ought to be working together in the mission as well. The covenant of body of Christ, the church of Christ, the church of our Lord, the church of the firstborn, to be the best thing. Let us stand. We're not a member of the Lord's church. We want to be. Let us stand. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Maybe a child of God, you need a special prayer. Let us do that for you as we sing the Savior's in the time.